We're still taking another look at the cross and what it means. Let's go to Galatians 6. Start in verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. It hasn't changed from the beginning of time. I mean, at the beginning of it was the same thing for Paul. It was the same thing for everyone throughout the Bible that preached the cross or saw the cross. The first one, the first big offense was Abel saw and Cain slew him. Those with the desire to make a fair show in the flesh. That means, what it literally means is that you're putting on makeup or making sure your hair is combed. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. But they want you, whoever is the teacher, preacher, to behave.
What I had heard you say was the cross and the sin offering are more than cousins.
Right. The sin offering was your death. The cross is your death.
And behavior, Cain's behavior, not acceptable, of course, and yet well, the sin offering lies at the door.
The pain offering, I mean, the cross has always been an offense. Yeah, tell me about it. The cross is a universal offense. It's an enemy of every form of thought and every person in the universe. Your death.
Appreciation and yet.
But they constrain you to be circumcised means they want you to adopt the current customs of the age so that you're not an offense if you're preaching the cross.
And yet somehow our society has made the cross.
Oh, they made it into a.
Somehow it's jewelry.
Jewelry. They use the cross to make a fair show in the flesh. They make a touchdown. John 3:14, or whatever it is.
16.
They don't ever read 1 John 3:16. They just, somebody ought to go on all those signs and put first before John 3:16. You want to go there? Let's go there and see. Somebody go there. 1 John 3:16. The Antichrist machines can get there real fast. Who's got it?
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
That's it. 1 John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his, so he must love me. Anyway, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That means, from your standpoint, there's absolutely nothing in the world that you desire, and from the world's standpoint, there's nothing in you that they desire. That's what the two-way cross does. Can you see why the cross is such an offense? Has it been an offense in your life? Are you still thinking about it? Is the world crucified unto you and you unto the world? Or is that just some words in the Bible? Let's go and see what Isaiah said about it.
Well, you said the purest form. I fall way short of the purest form.
Yeah, let's go. Then, as I said yesterday, there is no way that the world can be crucified unto you and you unto the world if you still desire the things in the world. By definition, it won't work either way. So what has to happen is you have to live your life to extremes. So there's no more if-onlys in your life, no more what-ifs. Because you've seen the emptiness and futility of all human effort, especially your own. Anything that is of benefit to the world is it's an offense to God. Whether it's what you do or what you think or what you be, the cross will never cease from being an offense. Is it an offense to you? Or is it just an add-on to your life? It says we'll be hated of all men. Anybody hate you? You're not hated because you've been stupid in the past. You're hated because you're a threat to their existence. You're a threat to their value systems. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Oh, we did. I'll go to Isaiah later.
Okay. What was it again?
1 Corinthians 1. I'm sorry I'm not organized.
Straighten up.
Verse
1.
Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, why is it the power of God? Because it's the instrument that God uses to convict you of your sin. It's especially true to convict you of, if you what Gary said earlier, is to convict you of having not made the sin offering.
Or accepted the offering that's already made.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Believe it or not, We've talked before about the definition of one and one isn't two. That's what prudent means. Prudent thinks it's one and one is two. But prudent is all of cause and effect. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Everything that you have learned how to do, tie your shoes. The reason I always think of that is because I remember that day I was sitting with great clarity because I was so proud of myself that I learned to tie my shoes. And that was the beginning of a worship of Babylon, of a worship of being prudent. If you believe what I teach, the greatest enemy of mercy and grace and faith is the whore of Babylon. The whore of Babylon uses cause and effect to cause your fornication with the world. Try today. Write down every time you use cause and effect. In your thoughts or in your actions, the list will be, it'll make the list that Harry used to make seem like it's only one page long. It'll be a book. Do you see the offense of the cross cuts against everything? Anybody have any response to all this?
Well, prudence and the wisdom of the wise and all the things that he's talking about, they only have to do with this realm. You can't get out.
Amen.
You're trapped in the sphere.
And the cross isn't an offense to you because you ignore it. Or you might talk about it. But in your day-to-day activities, you ignore it.
Well, the cross isn't prudent. You know, it's like dying isn't prudent.
And from God's standpoint, you're smelling up with your dead body, trying to be a zombie. Trying to be a better zombie. You understand you're a zombie?
Who, me?
Yeah, all of you.
Well, if by the prudence of Babylon, that would be...
No, zombie is by you died at the cross, but now you're walking around living. All men died at the cross. That's the whole world is nothing but zombies.
Yeah.
Okay. You sure you want to say yeah to that?
Yeah.
All right. Are you sick of being a zombie?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, sorry. Yes, sorry.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Or the debater is what that means. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the wise or wisdom of the world? For that after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, when the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's two types. It's all either that. All men either seek a sign or seek after wisdom. That's just not just talking about Jews and Greeks.
was looking at verse 21 about.
We're not there yet.
I thought you just read it.
You just read it.
Oh.
I thought not there. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Just presuming that people are
reading before.
I'm sorry. What do you say?
Well, I was catching up with 21 while you were going into the Jews and Greeks in 22, but the things that slowed me down, the way when I was at the age of learning to tie my shoes or zip up the zipper of my coat, which I never, my half-sister had to do it for me at that age. And all the things that slowed me down, learning, prudence, are actually the vehicle. It was like a gift from God that I had that innate inability.
But you didn't think it was a gift. You didn't think it was a gift.
I didn't. No, but it took me all my life to learn that those are actually gifts and vehicles. And the way that slows me down, those were gifts to
help you see the vanity of everything.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's not how I was going to say it, but yeah.
All right. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. In verse 23, a stumbling block, in some translations, has it meaning it's an offense.
Again, those things that were great offenses to my family, and have been my entire life. But they opened up a door for me to step through that. That's really cool. That's why they hate me so much, because I was so slow at learning what they just took for granted. That's just how I'm seeing it.
Well, again, those things were important. The question is, have you built again the things which were destroyed?
And I'm in the process of getting it torn down, whatever remains. I've been doing nothing but tearing down since I've been coming back through here.
All right.
But
to them which are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing or naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now let's go to Isaiah 8. Sorry, Josiah.
Well, I have the Antichrist machine, so it's really easy to change.
What chapter are we
in? Chapter 8. Start in verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye far of far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. What does that mean? Associate yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Because what we've done from the beginning of our lifetime as human beings, we've tried to associate ourselves with people that we believe would benefit us. That's the way of the beast. And it doesn't matter what, it's your definition of benefiting yourself. You understand what that means? It's not a general, it's yours. It's each of us having a particular idea of which people we want to associate ourselves with or join with so that it can help us do something. Everybody understand that? It says if you do that, you shall be broken in pieces. And help yourself, gird yourself, help yourself. And you shall be broken in pieces. And you shall be broken in pieces. It's repeated twice in that moan about girding yourself. Why? Why is that so terrible? It's because you're going somewhere other than God for your sustenance. You're trying to use the ways of the world to benefit yourself. And I'll promise you, every one of us, including me, will start dancing when we hear this. And we're dancing around the scriptures to find somewhere where that doesn't affect us. We're trying to prove that can't be right. You're doing it, Gary.
I was thinking to associate yourselves. We're talking about church here.
No, we're talking about people.
We're talking about church here is what I'm saying. And in that church, people associate because they think alike and it's comfortable and they're not threatened. And then they gird themselves with a protective doctrine or belief system, and now they're covered and they're protected and they don't have to look outside to meet needs or whatever, and they feel good about themselves. But I believe, and then those are the people that God doesn't particularly like.
Well, but it's because they're no different than the Gentiles.
Yeah.
It's this point of it, it's that this, all the people do this.
Yeah.
And my question is, do you do this? Do you try to gain advantage from somebody?
Are we doing it?
Huh?
Are we doing it?
Corporately. Well, whoever, all
yeah.
of us. I get these, somehow I'm having somebody's email list lately, and I get these things about, they have these parties so that you can mingle and gain advantage for your company.
Networking,
that's a word. And I didn't really understand this morning why I hated that so much, even the invitation.
All you have to do is you go once and they want to...
Well, I won't. I'm just telling you what happened. No, I'm not going. Don't worry about that.
Or you can unsubscribe.
But I don't think about this as others. What are you doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. I'll tell you, me personally, as we're talking this morning, I cling to certain scriptures and I cover myself with them, and they're the ones we've read this morning. The preaching of the cross is foolishness of them, and I'm determined to preach nothing save Jesus Christ and the crucified. And as long as I'm saying that, I'm powerful and I'm strong and I'm covered and God loves me because I'm saying the right words that have been pulled out. And now I'm bound up in that good doctrine. And yeah, it's good doctrine, but as soon as I use it to protect me and make me something special because I understand it and know what it means, then I've polluted the entire thing.
Yeah, the question is, the only the thing we have to understand is that we all do this. We all gird ourselves. We all are we adapt the ways of the world in order to get an advantage. These aren't things that anybody can hold on to. In the preaching of the cross, the words are meaningless unless you live it. And so it's the whole thing about, this is what the preaching of the cross does. It pushes you, hopefully if you have integrity, it pushes you to the end to see that you're guilty of all these things and there's no advantage to you any longer.
Yeah. This is just a list of all the things that you do to protect, to prepare, to hunker down. You know, it's like take counsel together.
Right, well, that's what we're about to read.
And, you know, it's like, and it said God's saying, you know, judgment is coming on this. This is like, it makes no difference. You know, there's no way out of this except repentance. It's the end.
Okay, here we go. Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. Now why? For God is with us.
God is with Isaiah.
Right.
I think that's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For the Lord has spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I shall not walk in the way of this people, saying, say not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. What does that mean? What does it mean to do not say
make
a confederacy?
Make alliances with,
right,
like we're talking about. Association. It's not talking about like the battle flag of the Confederacy.
Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. What does that mean? How are you going to sanctify the Lord?
Set him apart from all this other crap.
Amen.
That goes on.
Set him apart from all of you, in order, and especially that part of you that thinks you're doing what the Bible says and you're not. So there's no repentance. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for you a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, and a gin or a trap, and it's for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's all of us. Has the cross ceased to be an offense to you because you think you understand it? The cross was ever and always an offense, a terrible offense to your mind. There's no way your mind can stand against the cross of Christ. And you're kidding yourself if you think it does. If you understand what we said this morning, you will understand your own evil that you think is good. And the idea that just rings throughout time and space. Hosea's definition. Of fornication. And we can see why when we remember that the whore of Babylon is sitting in the seven mountains of our head. And each one of those seven mountains are totally in operation to keep you from understanding what faith is. Because if each one of those high places of your mind, the cross is its mortal enemy. We've talked about, I haven't talked about the first six, but the seventh is the greatest, the one that's the most powerful. And that's the Jebusites. And that is hope. How can anyone be against hope? Well, God is.
Jebusite hope is based on nothing.
But it's this...
like, no, there's nothing backing it up, but it's like, I've got some. So, things will
be better. But here, this again, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life again of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved. And you'll continue to see hope as a plus until you see how incredibly evil it is.
There are two kinds of hope, because the New Testament talks about it's by hope that we're saved.
The only time, there's hope is only used once in the Old Testament, and every time the word hope is used in the New Testament, it refers to the resurrection of Christ and nothing else. No, it's just the idea that word hope only means the resurrection.
In the Jebusite, hope, is that the hope of the flesh, that it will be saved?
Yeah.
Or the hope of that I'll get it together someday and be good?
That's why it's...
Or it's every way that you keep yourself alive and think you're dead.
Yeah, because it's like, if you think things are going to get better, then you won't repent because things are going to get better. You know, it's like you pick up the cross, it's like you see the cross on the ground, say, and you pick it up because you think, this will be good for me. You know, I need this. And you pick it up and you fall through the trap door and you're in this place.
You're back to the world.
Suddenly you realize your sin. You
know? We hope.
But if you've got a little bit of hope, then you... You know,
do it again.
This is a tough situation, but you know, if I put myself to it, I'll get out of it.
Yeah, right. Again, it's great scripture in Galatians. When you build again the things that you destroyed when you picked up the cross, but then you build them again, make yourself a transgressor. And the evil part is you build it again and think that's what, and you've convinced yourself that's what you're supposed to do. Because now you've got God's name on it. Anybody not understand this? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And anything that originates, if you believe what... it's time for us to look again and see what it is for us to mean, what it means to continue in his temptation. If as long as you're running around and doing stuff that benefits you, you're not continuing with him in his temptation. What you're doing is you're building again the things that you destroyed. You know, if I hadn't been electrocuted, I think that I would have, because it was in my nature, I would have, you know, we'd be successful. I got a nasty letter from, really nasty letter from Pat Robertson.
Oh, good. What did he say?
Well, I'm not going to go into that right now, but when I got that letter, I saw that I could have, maybe not as big as his, but I could have done what he did. I mean, that's what everything we were going towards when we were getting that television station and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I sat back and I thanked God. Because the only reason we didn't do that is because I got electrocuted. We have all kinds of rich Christians on our board of directors. I would have found a way to keep myself alive in the scriptures. I know it. I would have found a way to worship the thing that I'd worship my whole life, which was my own mind. That's what I gave breath to. I didn't give breath to anything else. Now it's just sickening. All right, anybody else? Anything else?
Two things. I saw this morning, I'm no match for my mind. It's connected to the Antichrist, who would have a lot more experience.
It is the Antichrist.
Connected is. The other idea is my mind is not of faith. It's not of God. Of Christ. We've had this, John wrote this thing to me yesterday, and we've been talking about the idea of what it is to be, have the faith of Christ, and it just was cool this morning saying that my mind is not of Christ.
Amen.
It is of
the evil one.
The evil one. And to put my confidence in that, now it's clear. Put my confidence in the evil one. And it's good news.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer. No, I'll say
it. Don't do it.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, nothing else. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of life, and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And by any and all means, let us not go into temptation. Let nothing take us back into our minds, but to the contrary, destroy the evil one, me. Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let nothing cause me then to rebuild the thing that is destroyed. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the need, so that you finally know that you know that you know. It's no longer just something you read. You know that it's Jesus Christ in you, and he's your only life. To hell with everything else.